The Christian Soldier, or Heaven Taken by Storm, showing the holy violence a Christian is to put forth in the pursuit after glory, to which is added the happiness of drawing near to God and the saint's desire to be with Christ, by Thomas Watson, Minister of the Gospel. Part 1. Taking Heaven by Violence. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. John the Baptist, hearing in prison of the fame of Christ, sends two of his disciples to him with this question: Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? In verse 3. Not, as Tertullian thinks, that John the Baptist knew not that Jesus Christ was the true Messiah, for he was confirmed in this both by the Spirit of God and by a sign from heaven, John 1 verse 33. But John Baptist hereby endeavored to correct the ignorance of his own disciples, who had a greater respect for him than for Christ. In the fourth verse, Christ answers their question: Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, etc. Jesus Christ demonstrates himself to be the true Messiah by his miracles, which were real and ocular proofs of his divinity. John's disciples being departed, Christ falls into a high praise and commendation of John the Baptist in verse 7. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? As if Christ had said, John the Baptist was no unconstant man, fluctuating in his mind and being shaken as a reed from one opinion to another. He was no Reuben, unstable as water, but was fixed and resolute in religion, and a prison could make no alteration in him. Verse 8. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? John did not indulge his senses. He wore not silks, but camel's hair. Nor did he affect to live at court, but in a wilderness. Matthew chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Again, Christ commends John as being his forerunner who prepared the way before him. Verse 10. He was the morning star which did precede the Son of Righteousness, and that Christ might sufficiently honor this holy man. He does not only parallel him with, but prefers him before the chief of the prophets. Verse 9. What went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Verse 11. Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He was eminent both for dignity of office and perspicuity of doctrine. And so our text is ushered in. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In these words, there is, number one, the preface or introduction. From the days of John the Baptist until now. John Baptist was a zealous preacher, Boanerges, or Son of Thunder, and after his preaching, people began to be awakened out of their sins. Hence, learn what kind of ministry is likely to do most good, namely, that which works upon the consciences of men. John Baptist lifted up his voice like a trumpet. He preached the doctrine of repentance with power, Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came hewing and cutting down men's sins, and afterwards preached Christ to them. First, he poured in the vinegar of the law, then the wine of the gospel. This was that preaching which made men studiously seek after heaven. John did not so much preach to please as to profit. He chose rather to discover men's sins than to show his own eloquence. The best mirror is not that which is most gilded, but that which shows the truest face. That preaching is to be preferred which makes the truest discovery of men's sins and shows them their hearts. John Baptist was a burning and shining light. He did burn in his doctrine and shine in his life, and therefore men pressed into heaven. Peter, who was filled with the spirit of zeal, humbled his hearers for their sins and opened to them a fountain in Christ's blood. They were pricked in their heart. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. 'Tis the greatest mercy to have a soul-searching ministry. If one had a desperate wound, he would desire to have it searched to the bottom. Who would not be content to have their souls searched so that they may have them saved? Number 2. The matter in the text. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Well, what is meant by the kingdom of heaven? Some interpret it as the doctrine of the gospel, which reveals Christ and heaven, so Erasmus. But I rather, by the kingdom of heaven, understand glory, and so learned Beza and others. This kingdom suffereth violence. 'Tis a metaphor from a town or castle that holds out in war, and is not taken but by storm. So the kingdom of heaven will not be taken without violence. The violent take it by force. The earth is inherited by the meek. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Heaven is inherited by the violent. Our life is military. Christ is our captain. The gospel is the banner. The graces are our spiritual artillery. And heaven is only taken in a forcible way. These words fall into two parts. Number one, the combat suffereth violence. Number two, the conquest. The violent take it by force. The right way to take heaven is by storm, or thus, none get into heaven but violent ones. And this violence has a double aspect. It concerns men as magistrates. They must be violent. Number one, in punishing the guilty. When Aaron's Urim and Thummim will do no good, then must Moses come with his rod. The wicked are the bad humors and surfeit of the commonwealth, which, by the care of magistracy, are to be purged out. God has placed governors for the terror of evildoers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. They must not be like the swordfish, which has a sword in his head, but is without a heart. They must not have a sword in their hand, but no heart to draw it out for the cutting down of impiety. Connivance in a magistrate supports vice, and by not punishing offenders, he adopts other men's faults and makes them his own. Magistracy without zeal is like the body without spirit. Too much leniency emboldens sin and doth but shave the head, which deserves to be cut off. Number two, in defending the innocent. The magistrate is the asylum or altar of refuge for the oppressed to fly to. Charles, Duke of Calabria, was so in love with doing justice that he caused a bell to be hung at his palace gate, and whosoever would ring it was sure presently to be admitted into the Duke's presence, or to have some officers sent out to hear his cause. Aristides was famous for his justice, of whom the historian saith that he would never favor any man's cause because he was his friend, nor do injustice to any because he was his enemy. The magistrate's balance is the oppressed man's shield. This violence concerns men as Christians. Though heaven is freely given to us, yet we must contend for it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. What thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Our work is great, our time short, our master urgent. We have need, therefore, to summon together all the powers of our souls and strive as in a matter of life and death, that we may arrive at the kingdom above. We must not only put forth diligence, but violence. For the illustrating and clearing of this proposition, I will show, 1, what violence is not meant here. The violence in the text excludes, 1, an ignorant violence, to be violent for that which we do not understand, Acts chapter 17, verse 23. As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. These Athenians were violent in their devotions, but it might be said to them, as Christ said to the woman of Samaria, in John chapter 4, verse 22, ye worship, ye know not what. Thus, the Catholics are violent in their religion. Witness their penance, fasting, dilacerating themselves till the blood comes. But it is a zeal without knowledge. Their metal is better than their eyesight. When Aaron was to burn incense upon the altar, he was first to light the lamps. Exodus chapter 25, verse 7. When zeal, like incense, burns, first the lamp of knowledge must be lighted. 2, it excludes a bloody violence, which is twofold. First, when one goes to lay violent hands upon himself, the body is an earthly prison where God has put the soul. We must not break prison, but stay till God, by death, lets us out. The sentinel is not to stir without permission from his captain, nor must we dare to stir, hence, without God's permission. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. When we offer violence to them, we destroy God's temple. The lamp of life must burn so long as any natural moisture is left, like oil, to feed it. Secondly, when one takes away the life of another. There's too much of this violence nowadays. No sin has a louder voice than blood, Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. If there is a curse for him that smiteth his neighbor secretly, Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 24, then he is doubly cursed who kills him. If a man has slain another unaware, he might take sanctuary and fly to the altar. But if he had done it willingly, the holiness of the place was not to protect him. Exodus 21, verse 14. If a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar, that he may die. Joab, being a man of blood, King Solomon sought to slay him, even though he caught hold on the horns of the altar. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 29. In Bohemia, formerly, a murderer was to be beheaded and put in the same coffin with him whom he had killed. Thus we see what violence the text excludes. Number two, what violence is meant here? It is a holy violence. This is twofold. Number one, we must be violent for the truth. Here, Pilate's question will be cited. What is truth? Truth is either the blessed word of God, which is called the word of truth, or those doctrines which are deduced from the word, and agree with it as the dial with the sun, or the transcript with the original. As the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of the creation, the doctrine of free grace, justification by the blood of Christ, regeneration, resurrection of the dead, and the life of glory. These truths we must be violent for, which is either by being advocates for them or martyrs. Truth is the most glorious thing. The least filing of this gold is precious. I think he meant filling. It's spelled filing in there. It's supposed to be filling. The least filling of this gold is precious. What shall we be violent for if not for truth? Truth is ancient. Its gray hairs may make it venerable. It comes from him who is the Ancient of Days. Truth is unerring. It is the star which leads to Christ. Truth is pure. Psalm 119, verse 140. It is compared to silver, refined seven times. Psalm 12, verse 6. There is not the least spot on truth's face. It breathes nothing but sanctity. Truth is triumphant. It is like a great conqueror when all his enemies lie dead. It keeps the field and sets up its trophies of victory. Truth may be opposed, but never quite deposed. In the time of Diocletian, things seemed desperate and truth ran low. And soon after was the golden time of Constantine, and then truth did again lift up its head. When the water in the Thames is lowest, a high tide is ready to come in. God is on truth's side, and so long as there is no fear, it will prevail. The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. But not that truth which came from heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. Truth has noble effects. Truth is the seed of the new birth. God does not regenerate us by miracles or revelations, but by the word of truth. James chapter 1, verse 18. As truth is the breeder of grace, so it is the feeder of it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6. Truth sanctifies. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Truth is the seal that leaves the print of its own holiness upon us. It is both speculum and lavacrum, a glass to show us our blemishes and a laver to wash them away. Truth makes us free. John chapter 18, verse 32. It bears off the fetters of sin and puts us into a state of sonship. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And kingship. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Truth is comforting, and this wine cheers. When David's harp and viol could yield him no comfort, truth did. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Truth is an antidote against error. Error is the adultery of the mind. It stains the soul as treason stains blood. Error damns as well as does vice. A man may as well die by poison as by pistol. And what can stave off terror but truth? The reason so many have been tricked into error is because they either did not know or did not love the truth. I can never say enough in the honor of truth. Truth is basis fidei, the ground of our faith. It gives us an exact model of religion. It shows us what we are to believe. Take away truth, and our faith is fancy. Truth is the best flower in the church's crown. We have not a richer jewel to trust God than with our souls. Neither he a richer jewel to trust us than with his truths. Truth is insigne honoris, an ensign of honor. It distinguishes us from the false church, as chastity distinguisheth a virtuous woman from an harlot. In short, truth is ecclesiae presidium, that is, the bulwark, a nation. 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 17. It is said the Levites, who are the antezigenani, that is, the ensign bearers of truth, strengthened the kingdom. Truth may be compared to the capital of Rome, which was a place of the greatest strength, or the Tower of David, on which there hang 1,000 shields. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 4. Our forts and navies do not so much strengthen us as truth. Truth is the best militia of a kingdom. If once we part with truth and espouse popery, the lock is cut where our strength lies. What then should we be violent for, if not for truth? We are bid to contend as in an agony for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude verse 3. If truth once be gone, we may write this epitaph on England's tombstone: Thy glory is departed. Number 2. This holy violence is also when we are violent for our own salvation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The Greek word signifies anxious carefulness or a serious bearing of one's thoughts about the business of eternity, such a care as sets head and heart at work. In this channel of religion, all a Christian's zeal should run. Number 3. The third thing is what is implied in this holy violence. It implies 3 things. Number 1, resolution of will. Number 2, vigor of affection. Number 3, strength of endeavor. Number 1, resolution of the will. Psalm 119, verse 6. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Whatever is in the way to heaven, though there be a lion in the way, I will encounter it like a resolute commander that charges through the whole body of the army. The Christian is resolved. Come what will, he will have heaven. Where there is this resolution, danger must be despised, difficulties trampled upon, and terrors contemned. This is the first thing in holy violence, resolution of will. I will have heaven whatever it costs me, and this resolution must be in the strength of Christ. Resolution is like the bias to the bowl, which carries it strongly. Where there is but half a resolution, a will to be saved and a will to follow sin, it is impossible to be violent for heaven. If a traveler be unresolved, sometimes he will ride this way, sometimes that. He is violent for neither. Number two, vigor of the affections. The will proceeds upon reason. The judgment being informed of the excellency of a state of glory, and the will being resolved upon a voyage to that holy land. Now the affections follow, and they are on fire and passionate longings after heaven. The affections are violent things. Psalm 42, verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. The Rabbins note here that David saith not, my soul hungereth, but thirsteth, because naturally we are more impatient with thirst than hunger. See in what a rapid, violent motion David's affections were carried after God. Affections are like the wings of the bird, which make the soul swift in its flight after glory. Where the affections are stirred up, there is offering violence to heaven. Number three, this violence implies strength of endeavor. When we strive for salvation as though a matter of life and death, 'tis easy to talk of heaven, but not to get to heaven. We must operum navare, put forth all our strength, and call in the help of heaven to this work. Number four. The fourth thing is, how many ways a Christian must offer violence? Namely, four ways. He must offer violence, number one, to himself, number two, to the world, number three, to Satan, and number four, to heaven.